Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Wow. I don't know if I ever really got a chance to say thank you to the body of Christ here. You know, I pastored for 13 years, and you have been so gracious to us, to me and Susie. And I just don't take that lightly. And, you know, stepping away for 3 months has been incredibly refreshing. The elders so generously, they kind of wanted me to just come on board and serve part-time. And I said, I can't. I got to have at least 3 months just with no responsibilities, you know. I've been running pretty hard, and they so graciously gave me three and a half months, which just ended last Sunday, in fact, back in the saddle. And, you know, it was a weird trip, kind of transitioning back into civilian life. For 3 months, but it was really something that I needed to do. It was something that I needed personally for a couple of reasons. The first is that I had been in church leadership for most of the last 40 years in one form or another, and I really wanted to just get outside of that bubble for a little bit and not have any of those responsibilities. And we did pretty good. Every now and then we'd poke our head back in and say hi, but for the most part, we were able to just, the leadership team here was so gracious and just let us be for a while, and we so appreciated it. But there was a second thing that I really needed to do for myself, and it's this, and one way that you can pray for people in church leadership is that I wanted to find out if I would pursue God as heartily without pursuing God for another message, for another sermon, for another counseling meeting, for another this, that, or the other thing that comes with the position. And I had to answer a question for myself. Will I pursue Jesus as heartily without all of those things as I did with those things? And while nothing's perfect, I'm not perfect, I can say that the Lord really met me in a significant way, and with a refreshing, and with a new passion, a new zeal, and with a new call, as it were. This much I know, that it's illegal in the kingdom to step, you know, to retire. I mean, I'm a pastor. I'll always be a pastor, and I'll die with my boots on. I mean, I know that. The assignment changes. Times and seasons changes, but I really believe that I am now stepping into really more the purity and the heartbeat of my call. I tell people that the last 13 years, in some ways, I've been a bit of a duck out of water, with being kind of a lead pastor, because I just love getting on somebody else's vision and serving somebody else's vision. And I believe that God is going to be transitioning, has transitioned us in spirit, in my heart, to already, I am so thrilled to just be behind Jay Bryan and Renee with what they're running with. I mean, the highest excitement, you know, in my heart. How many are proud of the way they're handling this? And Renee, the vision and the direction, the things that she's putting in place, or were things that I just didn't have gifts for. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because I know what God's created me with, and I know that I had what was needed for the last 13 years. But I am so proud of the way Renee is running and leading us as a body. Maybe it's an old man just being excited about that stuff. We went to our prophetic sessions last week, Susie and I. I figured that we wanted to start our this new leg of our journey together, submitting ourselves to the prophetic teams. And they said something that was in my heart, but I hadn't found words for. And they said, you're not so much a father. This, I'm paraphrasing, okay? And they're not scripture, so I can paraphrase what they said. But they said, you're not so much a father. There's really the delight of a grandfather in you. And I thought, you know, that's really true. I get to come and mix it up with you guys, and I get to send you back to mom and dad. It's kind of cool, you know. I can spoil you. I can you know, have a good time with you, and then just send you back to mom and dad, kind of like I do with my grandkids. See, you know, we get to spoil them and get them to misbehave a little bit, then we send them down to Jordan and Rachel. So I'm just delighted, and thank you for the body of Christ. You guys are amazing. I'm just so incredibly blessed by this body, and I have been for many years. One of the things that I'm going to be stepping into is something that has really been a large part of my heart, and that is small groups. We're going to look in a minute at the care structure of Living Waters Church. Much of the pastoral care in this house is going to happen within the care groups, within the connect groups, we call them, within small groups. We just, you know, we're so limited in what we can do in these 2 hours on a Sunday morning. And I have, for many, many years, I have said that the meat and potatoes of life are out the other 166 hours of the week that we live. And then we just come together on Sunday mornings just to celebrate and just to delight in the Lord together. And there are things that we cannot do here. There are things that it just wouldn't be proper to do here. It wouldn't be, it's not enough. And so what my challenge to you as the body of Christ is going to be today is we are reinvigorating, we're kind of redesigning some things. You got to give us a little bit of time, but we are going to put some more emphasis on the connect groups again. And here's my challenge to the body of Christ here is that before I was really nice. Now I'm not a pastor anymore. I don't have to be really nice. And I just said, you know, whatever happens, you do it. No, not today as granddad. I'm saying you need to be connected in something other than a Sunday morning church. If this is the limitation, if this is what you do in connection with the body of Christ on a week-to-week basis, and it's limited to a Sunday morning service, can I just say that you are really missing out on life and the beauty of the body of Christ and the love and the fellowship of the body of Christ? See, I have always had a conviction that it's the body that pastors the body. I was so aware as a pastor how limited my pastoral graces were for the body of Christ. We see a lot of the model in the church today, and you see pastors just getting burned out because they feel like it's all on them. No, I feel like I was successful as a pastor when I saw you ministering to one another. When I'd see pockets of people over here gathering and praying for one another, people back there praying for one another, people out in the hall just praying for one another. And when I saw you shepherding one another, pastoring one another, I tell you, that's what did backflips in my spirit. You know, it wasn't so much whether we had a whole big bunch of people coming, new coming. That stuff's all okay, but I tell you what, if we're not shepherding, if we're not loving one another in a very real and a very practical way, then we're somehow missing the richness that is found in the body of Christ. So I'm going to encourage you, as we roll this out, I'm going to encourage you to connect on another level. Let's put up our care structure. Through the years, here's our care structure. Here we come. How many appreciate the techies? Man, what they do is such a blessing. I have looked at the care structure over the years, of course, as a pastor, as somebody who had headed up the Connect groups for a number of years. I teamed up with different people to run Connect groups. I was with Sandy until she kicked me out of the group. But we ran together, you know, with a Connect group and Phyllis and Larry. Just different people that through the years, I've just always loved Connect groups. I love what happens in them. And I've looked at this care structure, and I've never found a way to improve in what's written here. Now, I'd love to take the credit for this, but I can't take the credit for what's written here. This was actually penned by Bob. It was put together by Bob in the early days of his pastoring when the church was first started. And as we were talking to him, I don't know if it was last week, a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, I never felt so much like, you know, God was taking control of the pen as I was writing. He said, not to be quaint or not to be, you know, whatever, but he really sensed the leading of the Lord in this. And I haven't figured out a way to improve on what Holy Spirit did already. Yes, and here's our care structure. And we're just going to read some of these paragraphs together. My wife was communicating something to me, so I'm sorry. Yes, it is. Our care structure is based on the conviction that care can best be provided when individual members of the congregation develop close relationships and are caring for one another. And then there's some scriptures that follow that. But that really is, you can take down those scriptures, look at them by yourself, but they're just all scriptures that talk about serving one another with what God's given us. But really, we have a conviction that it's relationships that are built outside of the Sunday morning service that are really strong. I've seen it over the years. Bob and I have commented that people who are in connect groups, people who are with other people outside of the Sunday service, actually have less needs. They don't need the counseling. They don't need a lot of the things that other people do come and need. And so we have found, in fact, I know there was some circumstances that happened in the church with somebody who was in a connect group, and it was the people from the connect group that chased the person down, reconciled him to Christ, and brought him back into the things of the kingdom. And I mean, I had nothing to do with it, except just to be so incredibly proud of those that had built the kind of relationship within their group that they could do that. And there's it was said today, was it you that said it? We're giving strengths and receiving strengths. And in a small group, you know, on a Sunday morning, there's so little that we can really allow and have time to do. But there is the, in a small group, this thing of being able to give your strength and submit your weaknesses and to receive strength and to pray for others' weaknesses. Those are the things that happen in small groups and are so necessary in this walk with Christ. So with this understanding as our guide, we purpose to encourage care to take place primarily through small groups. Not all these groups maybe exist for their primary purpose of providing care, nor will all care take place at small group meetings. But the relationships, and this is key, the relationships that are formed will allow for the care and concern of one another. And then we see these into four different categories. That's incredibly important. We don't want our meetings outside on the week-to-week basis to model another church service. We've got one of them. We don't need that. What we need is a place where people can eat together, they can laugh together, they can run together, and they can celebrate just life together in a backyard or in a basement. It doesn't really matter what it looks like or where it is. In fact, I think when we try to model it after Sunday morning service, I think that's where a lot of connect groups have failed. I mean, anybody who has tried to do anything with small groups, the challenge is always, how about families? How about kids? You know, we've got large families in this church. And if you've ever been to the Peters when they had all their people together, I mean, it's mayhem. And trying to follow a study and, well, we're going to have a Bible study. No. But what they did was they did life there, including the kids. And I think you accomplish more just by being than you do by listening to the latest, greatest teaching. We're fat with teaching. Amen. In the United States, in this church, you are fat with teaching. You don't need more teaching. Amen. You need relationships. Deep relationships. So there's four different ways that are listed here. I've actually got a fifth that I'll probably roll out someday if I get a chance. But the main one is the home group. That's the connect group. A study group are things that can happen on, you know, for a limited time, you know, maybe a study, alpha study for 13 weeks, or a study on the book of Revelation for a week, you know. But there's different study groups where they're themed, and we have people that are good teachers that just run with that. A lot of our higher call is just that. They're study groups. Very valid. But I tell you, I feel like the strength isn't in what you're learning. The strength is in the relationships that you build. I first got to know Susan in one of those, right? Over in the, yeah, that's where I first got to know you. And it was just good, you know. The teaching was okay, too. Ministry groups. Henry and Leslie do a fantastic job with ambassadors for him and the prophetic. And I have a feeling, the way you guys run that thing, that it isn't just about the ministry. You guys are pretty intentional about building relationship and building team. And I saw that team that we sat under last Sunday. And I could just see how they worked together, how they flowed together. And you knew that they hadn't just come together for ministry, but there was a team that was built there. So there's ministry groups and then special interest groups. I'm waiting for the day we can have a motorcycle group that I can just, you know, kind of jump on and ride and do all that. And oh, there's Charity. but, you know, and there's a lot of special interest things that happen. But again, the key is not for the thing that's happening. That's just one of the fruits. But the key is that we build relationships with one another. How many have found that our culture doesn't know how to build relationship? Yeah. And you know that because you can't disagree with somebody and stay in relationship. Yeah. You know, as soon as you disagree on something, you're the enemy. That's bogus. But that's the culture that we're living in right now. And that has infected the church, the body of Christ. And I believe that God wants to teach us how to do relationship, where we can agree and disagree and that we can run together, even if we are a little bit at odds of things. I have to laugh, you know, with Dan Peters' group. You want to talk about a diverse bunch of people and some of the stuff that went on there, but they'd always come back loving each other. Yeah. And it was just always so fun to see. And that's really why we are really focusing on building relationships. So it has to be kept in mind that our goal is not to have small groups. I will not judge the success of this on how many small groups we have. That's not the point. Because our goal is to see people build solid, caregiving relationships. Small groups are simply a tool to help promote these relationships. This next statement is one that I am so passionate about. And it flows through everything that we do here. The government within the church does not exist to control people, but rather to care for them. We realize that relationships will be built outside the scope of our small groups and encourage that care for one another to take place in these situations as well. It is not our intention to dictate how, when, or where relationships must be built, but rather it is our desire to promote the building of relationships and give our people the vision to care for one another so that the body builds itself up in love, Ephesians 4:16. Now, not controlling is really a big deal with me. I just hate control. I hate anything that smacks of control. But the result of that is I can be a little bit too hands-off. And so maybe we've been a little too hands-off. And now maybe I'm going to cross over that line and say, we encourage you, strongly encourage you, to consider finding and being part of a small group. If it's in this church, wonderful. I know some people that have Bible studies outside of this house, and they love each other, and relationships are built. My desire is to see the body of Christ walking in healthy relationships with other people within the body of Christ. Yeah. You know, the Bible is a little bit clear about those who are within the household of faith versus those that are without. Now, hear me on this, okay? I'm not anti-evangelism, but there is something that those of us within the body of Christ can only relate to. We speak a different language. Did you know that? We speak, by the way, Jesus spoke a different language. I'm not talking about, you know, the language that he spoke physically, but he spoke in parables. Why? Because he was inviting people into a relationship that took revelation and understanding to be able to fellowship with one another. Now, that doesn't mean we cut off everybody outside. No, I am in the world. I'm just not of the world. But there are some of those that I have to mix it up with to encourage my faith. That doesn't work real well outside the body of Christ. Are you hearing me here? There are things that are sacred and that can only be stood by another believer. And the one another's, I think you've preached many years ago on the one another's. Who are the one another's in your life? Who are those that you're not only giving to spiritual things, spiritual understandings, but you're also receiving spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding? I want to move on. Acts chapter 2. There is a precedence in and a pattern in the New Testament that I believe we are going to use as we move forward with small groups. Very familiar. We're going to start with verse 42, chapter 2, Acts. So Peter has just preached his Pentecost message. People are cut to the heart. By the way, how many know that cutting to the heart is a prerequisite to really coming into the kingdom? That it's a heart thing, it's not a head thing? Amen. And that's why there's a difference between those outside and those that really know Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. That means they were always together. This is something that they made a habit. This is something that became their lifestyle. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul. By the way, that word there, we try to sanctify it for the sake of the New Testament. It actually means terror. There's a terror. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, right? That's the terror of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord that causes me to depart from evil, right? And that's the terror of the Lord. There is a healthy terror of the Lord. As much as we have spent most of our time in this body talking about how you are favored in Christ, how you are clean in Christ, how you have been reconciled to Christ, and I will always preach that grace message, but I tell you, unless you know the fear of the Lord, the grace message is watered down. To the degree that you live in a healthy fear of the Lord, that's what magnifies grace and makes it great. And we have one of the kind of the earmarks of a culture that is becoming depraved is that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Right now we're in a culture in this nation where there is not a fear of God before their eyes. I'm sad to say that much of the church culture has not understood the fear of the Lord. I believe God is restoring the fear of the Lord. So fear came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. All who believed were together. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. People will actually use that particular scripture for a case for socialism. This new time. They put up that new clock and I can see it.
Don't worry about
Don't worry about it, your pastor. I'm going to kick it into hyperdrive here. That is not socialism. There was a voluntary, because God had so moved on people's hearts with the love of God that they couldn't stand to see somebody going without. How many know we want to see that in the body of Christ? It can't be mandated from outside, because your heart will still remain cold towards those that you're giving to, and it becomes a license. It just becomes stupidity. But I tell you, when God moves upon the hearts of a man and a woman to where we love and we care for one another more than we care for our own things, and that we're not just concerned about our own comforts, but we're concerned about the needs of those around us. That's what this is talking about. They were so moved by the Spirit of God that they separated from what they once knew. How many know there's an awful lot of the world still in the church? There's an awful lot of world in me. Continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I love that particular phrase, with gladness and simplicity of heart. How many know that that's the goal of all this? And that simplicity of heart doesn't mean this is just all easy to understand. How many know that the gospel can be as deep and as deep and mind-stirring and challenging as anything that you've ever read? Susie and I just in our devotions just went through the book of Revelations, and she probably never heard me say I don't know so many times. There's a depth to the Word of God. And so the simplicity here, I believe, is referring to an undivided heart, an undivided mind. Double-mindedness in the kingdom of God will kill you. It'll destroy your faith. And when the Scripture talks about iron sharpening iron, so when man sharpens his brother, his sister, there is something about your faith that is sharpened when we're together. When somebody challenges me and says something to me, I'm in really all sorts of relationships with people who don't think like I think. I don't have to agree with them, but I can love them and I can thank them for bringing something to me that I haven't seen. And there is this restoration to a simplicity of heart that you help me and keep me accountable to. That I'm not divided between, oh, look what the world has to offer. Look what the kingdom of America has to offer. I'm thankful for it, but I tell you what, I want to be single focused and see the kingdom through the kingdom, see this kingdom through the kingdom's eyes. I had a vision this morning, a picture, and it was of a funnel. And what I was seeing was all the things were being run through a funnel, which is my heart, our hearts, the church, you name it. And then it was being dispersed to the world, to America. See, until we see America through the funnel of the kingdom of God, we're going to make all sorts of mistakes in trying to input and to try to do things and make fairness work and all that. So there's this simplicity of heart that we're being called back to. I want to submit to you that we, as the body of Christ, need one another to keep us simple, to keep us focused. I need people in my life that will challenge me, that will hold me accountable in a good way. These leaders, they weren't going to just let me run away. They said, no, you still have a call on your life, Dave. I don't want to force anything, and I wouldn't have forced anything. But it's people around me that said, no, Dave, you have a call on your life, and you need to walk in that. I'm half done. Four pillars of the bodybuilding lifestyle, apostles' doctrine. I want to encourage you at home. Do you talk with your children about the apostles' doctrine? One of the things that I want to do is I want to take and, as we have connect groups, talk about what we talked about on Sunday. See, I didn't just happen to show up here and preach a message. I really got on my face before the Lord to hear what the Lord wants to speak. Renee does the same thing. Part of the apostles' doctrine isn't just studying the scriptures. It's studying what the word of the Lord is to us for a congregation. I know this. Something like, 90% of you will walk out of here and not remember 90% of what I said? That's discouraging for a preacher. But the thing that is, I feel like we need to regurgitate on these things. Talk it over. Over your lunch today. You going out with somebody? Talk it over, what we talked about today. Next week when Renee preaches, and talk it over. See, the word of the Lord to this house is tailor-made. We're not listening to what God's speaking to all the rest of the world. Part of the apostolic grace on this house is to be sent with the word. I'm here today with a sending from the Holy Spirit to preach these things, to maybe even offend you a little bit. But really, the desire is, the heartbeat of Jesus is that one day the world will look and they'll say, look at those people. Look how they love one another. The earmark for the church being the church wasn't that they had great doctrine. It was that they had great relationships. Can the world look at you and say, look how he loves? And look how he loves people. Look how he loves his wife. Look how he loves his children. Look how he loves the lost. Beloved, one of the challenges for me from the Lord during the sabbatical was to simplify my faith, to get back to the things that really matter. To learn not just the what, as Renee said, but the why and the how. You won't get the why and the how here today. When you go home and you talk it over, when you go to a small group and you talk it over, you can discover together the what and the why and the how. Your children have got to understand the why and the how. They have had the what preached to them up and down the street for all their lives. But unless they know the why and the how, why does it matter? And how do I implement it? How many know there's such a disjoint between heaven and earth? We get all these heavenly revelations, right? Yeah. But bringing them to earth so that we can now do it, there's a disjoint. And I believe that God, see, that's part of being together as a body. Yeah. The how has to be a corporate thing. Yeah. I need people in my life to help me to understand the how. And I need people who will have a why that I haven't understood yet. Can I encourage you to go home this afternoon or next week, whatever you do, and remember what we talked about here today, but I encourage you to ask one another, why? Why was this burning on Dave's heart? And now how? What does it mean for us? How do we implement what Dave was talking about? I challenge you. Go home and ask the why and the how of what we're talking here today. One last thing I have to do, and this is for this body here, those that are joining us online. If you have never been cut to the heart by the truth of your sin, the depth of your sin, the depth of your depravity, someday I'm going to preach, I've got an encounter that happened to me during sabbatical that changed my life. And it was just that. It was God revealing to me the depth of my depravity apart from Christ. If you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never believed in the only blood of Jesus Christ that delivers you from sin, I want to encourage you to turn your heart to Him. If you're listening via the internet, just bow your heads. I'm going to pray a quick prayer. And if this is the agreement of your heart, please agree with it. And if you pray this prayer, we're going to have prayer teams up here. I encourage you to talk to them. But let's all just bow our heads. Jesus, we want to thank you that the kingdom and living in this kingdom is so diametrically opposed to what we have lived our lives in this world. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is the only Spirit that can cut people to the heart, that can cut me to the heart, to the place of repentance and returning. for myself, not for anybody else, not because my parents are, but because it's me. And I receive the only blood of Jesus as the atonement for my sin. I am so grateful, so thankful for the revelation of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please talk to somebody. Call us, do what you got to do. But it is our passion. I just know that there are a lot of people who have a false security in Christ. They're saying, Lord, Lord, haven't I done all these wonderful things in your name? But they've never truly been cut to the heart by the truth of the Scripture. Amen. Let's stand together. I just want to bless you. We'll have teams up here. If you need prayer, come on up. Coffee out in the lobby. Just love on one another. Father, I want to bless this body. I thank you for them. I thank you for who they have been in my life, God. And I thank you for who they are in the world. God, a light that shines, a bright and shining light. Father, I just release your favor, your goodness, your blessing on each one as we delightfully pursue this singleness, the gladness of having a single heart and a single mind before you. God, that we can eat our bread with simplicity and with gladness, just the satisfaction of knowing that I am yours and you are mine. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.